Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon, BetterHelp, and Modern Fertility. We are so happy to have them on board, making this show a possibility.
I mean, thank you, everybody. Welcome back from the little break.
Hi. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Yeah, I'm Robin.
I'm Jamie. We're your hosts.
We're fresh off a three-week break.
Three-week holiday break with the kids.
I feel sort of rejuvenated, but not really.
I got, you know what? On Sunday, I took a nap with the baby.
That's nice.
I think that was a good idea.
I think that's the one time.
Me either. Yeah. I think that's the one time I felt rested.
Mary takes naps all the time.
Yeah, some people are nappers.
She'll just lay down like she's going to watch TV with me, and then I'll sit
here. Just fall asleep. Yeah. No. Like,
are you serious?
It doesn't happen to me.
We were watching TV.
Well, then you can watch what you want.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, we have two TVs, for God's sakes.
Oh, okay.
Fancy.
I know, you're so fancy. My God.
Well, welcome back. We wanted to start the new year with like something exciting. We have a little giveaway that we're doing.
Giveaway.
We're doing.
I think we need like a soundbite with that.
Giveaway. So we want you guys to be a part of our social community on Instagram. So
yes,
if you
we do.
Follow us on Instagram.
We need those followers.
Now and the end of January, you're going to be entered to win a swag bag from Ovaries. What's in that bag?
What's
Jamie?
In that bag? Let's see. We're going to get a t-shirt, a mug, some stickers. Who doesn't love stickers? Especially if you have kids.
You know you want
You can
this.
Put Ovaries all over your kids' stickers.
I mean, that's weird. We're not sending that many stickers. Just a couple.
I didn't mean like cover your kid head to toe. Well, anyway.
Just follow us on Ovaries _ talk on Insta. And the winner's going to be announced in early February.
Early February. Wow, God, that seems so far away.
No,
but
it's 2020,
not.
Guys.
It's not. Time is really traveling a lot faster than it used to. Is that
my
just
dad
age?
Used to say that to me when I was little. He would say, as you get older, you'll see it just goes by faster and faster. And because I was like, oh, the school year's so long.
And I just recently noticed
what was that, voice I just
did. You were like, so weird. Such an angsty. So I just, weird. The picture in my head, I had in my head of you at that age. Is
not... Meanwhile, I was like mowing, the lawn while I did it.
Of course you were. Yeah.
Well, he made me. Of course. It's a lot.
It's a lot. No, but it really is like a marked difference to me.
Oh, totally.
All of a sudden, I'm like, what? Wait, what? How? It's the new year already.
It's the 20s. But listen, we're living in the 20s.
2020 is going to be our year, Robin.
It is our year. It's already happening.
I've been looking forward to 2020 since I was 5. No joke.
That's weird.
No joke.
Well, listen, before we get to our guests, we did want to tell you guys about a podcast
that we came across
called The Double Shift.
Double Shift.
It's amazing. It's basically a reported podcast that's about a new generation of working mothers.
Which, that's us. That's the modern day.
What do we talk about all the time?
How hard it is. Mm-hmm. But it's hosted by journalist Catherine Goldstein. So you know she has real questions, not like us.
Yeah.
Stupid. And season one of her show explores all kinds of ways mothers were challenging the status quo in their work lives. And she featured people like politicians, musicians.
But you know what I thought was really interesting is that Catherine is like wildly pregnant. And was producing all of season two.
Good girl. Remember me?
I think it might be twins.
Oh, okay. So she wins. She beats me. But I was pregnant when we started.
It's a double shift.
I was pregnant. It was a lot easier back then.
It was. But season two is going to get up and close and personal with 6 weekly episodes. Or it did. It's already all out. You can watch all of them. Episodes that are around the term, the revolution begins at home.
Ooh, it sure does. And it focuses on how mothers have reshaped their personal lives. And you're going to hear about how to choose your own family from unconventional co-parents in Canada. A mom without custody of her kids who believes she's a better mother for
it. That's interesting.
Yeah. A transgender parent of 5 who will explore your gender stereotypes, which we love.
That sounds like Nick.
Yeah.
And Nick and Catherine.
Anyway. Yeah. It's exciting.
Listen, you can listen to The Double Shift. You want to listen, subscribe anywhere you get your pods. So check it out, folks.
Subscribe. Everybody wants the numbers. We want the numbers.
We all do.
Give them the numbers.
All right. So before we get in, just join our, we have 2 new Patreon community members that we have to announce.
We do. Do you want to announce the first one?
Sure. Ellie Ferraria. Oh, Ellie, I probably just butchered your name. Ferraria?
Ferrera. I bet you it's Ferrera.
Probably.
Allie, let us know. I think it's Ferrera.
Okay. And also, one other person. Who was that?
One very special person that I like to call Mama Sue. That's my mom.
What I want to say is, what took Mama Sue so long to get on the Patreon? I mean, it's been up since August.
It took her a while to figure out exactly what it was.
Well, in Patreon this week, we're going to have a bonus video from today's guest, and they're going to be talking about the behind-the-scenes look at what bedtime is like with triplets. And it's mayhem.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I can't even handle bedtime with 2.
No.
Mm-hmm. So head on over to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join.
Okay. So
join us. I don't know why I have to sing that every time.
We have to get you a new song.
I need more joining songs. Okay. Can you write in, guys, some more joining songs? There's got to be a million.
Should we go to our guests? Or you want them to join us too?
I do.
This week's guests, Michelle and Mari.
Oh my God. They discovered this thing that our minds are blown about. IVF vacations, you guys.
And they had triplets. And Mari, the non-bio mom, induced lactation.
These people are magical.
Yeah.
The things we've learned.
Let's get to it. This is a big show. Good interview.
It's a big show.
Here we go. Hi, Michelle and Mari.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for coming on.
We are video chatting. Is that what we call it?
I mean, we usually just call it recording remotely, but
we are recording remotely. Well, we can call it whatever we decide to call it. So we are video chat remotely.
Where are you guys located?
Tallahassee, Florida.
Well, let's talk about how you guys got to us. Michelle, you found us. You found us on the podcast and then...
Yes, and then joined the Facebook group. And then I don't remember what people were chatting about. I said something.
I feel like you said something about triplets and I was all, Michelle.
Contact us. Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
It was something. There was something. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
Then it took us a minute to get our act together, but here we are.
We're here.
And video chatting.
Yeah.
Well, guys, give us the elevator pitch about your story.
We asked the kids what we should say tonight. We said the first thing they're going to ask us is to tell them about our family. And we said, so why is our family cool special and unique? And they said, triplets. And then we said, well, yeah. Like, what else? And they said, two moms. Yeah, yeah, that's true. And then they said, and a dog. And that was the end of their elevator pitch.
Triplets, two moms, and a dog. That's a good elevator pitch.
I mean, written by, first elevator pitch written by kids.
Right.
I love it.
Right. But I was thinking about it. So I think the elevator pitch for me is that we are obviously two moms and triplets. But I think what keeps us going is that we're pretty good, Mari and I, at picking up where the other person is slacking. And not slacking, but, you know, whatever feels hard for the other person, we're good at kind of slotting in that spot when we need to.
Tagging out.
And that, I think it can be tricky for some people. I think we're good at empathy. We understand where each other are coming from really well. And that's saved us, I feel like, so many times.
Totally. Yeah. I was listening to the podcast you guys did about phases of parenting and disconnecting. And it's like, we need to work on that. But, you know, it's not like we are disconnected.
I don't think there's anyone who doesn't
need
to work on
it. It's just that it is a lot. This parenting gig is a lot.
The full-time job and then some.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had triplets.
Yeah.
It's not like you just like, that's mayhem.
Yeah. Our pediatrician, when we first told the pediatrician that we were having triplets, she was like, well, the good thing is that this is just going to be what parenting is for you. You don't have one. You didn't have a single before. So you just don't know anything different. This is just what it will be.
Yeah.
And I think that's true.
Yeah.
This is just what parenting has been. You know, people talk about newborn days. We're like, oh, we slept in 45-minute increments for like 6 months.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Wow.
And y'all seem like you just still like each other and everything. So that's great.
And I have to say this little disclaimer about that disconnected episode. All those things that I said I was going to do to like connect better with my wife.
How's that going, Jamie?
Didn't happen yet. Didn't happen. But now Anne and I will be sitting on opposite ends of the couch and be like, we should be touching.
Not just feet.
Awareness is the first. Awareness is the first thing. That's what they say.
Totally.
So you're
totally
aware.
So awareness we're working is the first on it. Step. Yeah.
Jamie, remember breakfast cereal? Oh my God. Yeah. When I was growing up, it was like the best part of being a kid. But as an adult, I mean, I'm realizing now that all my favorites were full of sugar and junk that, you know, I probably shouldn't be eating.
I know. I mean, tell me about it. I was only allowed to eat Cheerios as a kid because my mom was not into sugar cereal.
Right? How'd that work for you?
So sad. So hard.
Well, and the good news is, Jamie, though, that like this sponsor, Magic Spoon, it's this new cereal company that's discovered a way to recreate your favorite childhood cereals with 0 grams of sugar, 12 grams of protein, and 3 net grams of carbs in each serving.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know.
Tell me more.
Right? Well, basically, it's Magic Spoon, and they offer 4 flavors based on the all-time classics, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry.
Love me some frosted.
We all know those. And they have a variety pack that lets you try them all.
Ooh, variety packs are the bomb.
I love a variety pack, too. And listen, Magic Spoon spent over a year working with their best food scientists and chefs in the world to recreate the taste and texture of classic sugary cereal, but it doesn't have the junk that makes them horrible for your health.
I like that. My daughter is going to be so happy because I'm definitely following in my mom's footsteps and only giving her Cheerios. Definitely.
Well, now she can be healthy and she can enjoy her food. Oh. With Magic Spoon, it's gluten-free, it's grain-free, it's soy-free and GMO-free.
Oh.
And it tastes so incredible that you and, you know, Rose are never going to guess it's healthy, which is a win. Mm-hmm. You really got to try Magic Spoon to believe it. I'm telling you, my kids are so into the fruity one. They cannot get enough.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. And our friends at home should be too, Robin. Mm-hmm. Because listen, breakfast is important and it should be exciting, obviously. Now you and your kids can continue to enjoy breakfast cereal and actually get a nutritious meal out of it. That's a win. Win. Yeah.
Totally.
And guess this, guys. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, they back it with a 100% happiness guarantee.
Listen, you just got to go to magicspoon.com/OCT and you get that variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use the code OCT at checkout and you're going to get free shipping.
You can't lose. Like I said, Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked.
That's magicspoon.com/OCT and use the code OCT for free shipping.
We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
Let's, you guys, tell us about how did these triplets come about?
So we had about a 2-year trying and failing fertility journey that was horrible.
More than 20 inseminations, failed IVF cycle, you know.
And then we would try a bunch with one of us and then it wouldn't work and we'd be like, switch!
Obviously the other person is more fertile, right?
But that didn't work either.
You didn't have feelings either way of who carried and who didn't? Or
well, we both wanted to originally. Mm-hmm. We both wanted to. We figured we'd each have one and then we'd have two kids and then we'd be good.
Be done.
Wouldn't that be great?
The lesbian dream.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously. Didn't.
That's our version of the picket fence.
Didn't work out that way. Yeah, it's our version of a picket fence. Exactly.
Right.
So you went back and forth between each other trying and then I try and then you try.
Yeah. And nothing was kind of working out. And then we moved.
You know, we were in Seattle where like reproductive medicine was just so accessible and easy and a variety of options were available to Michelle deciding she needed to get her PhD at Penn State in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And I was like, I don't know what happens now. And we were going to have to, we're connected with a reproductive medicine clinic out of Philly, which is a 3.5-hour drive, but they would come an hour away.
Work for infertility.
It's going to be a big ordeal.
And we were set up to do IVF. So we had like the scripts for all the meds, like everything was we were going. And then
Mari freaked out. I freaked out about.
Yeah. We got a little freaked out about the money and said, and I said, I just wish we could just go on vacation somewhere and just do IVF there. And then it would just be done. And I was saying that more out of frustration, not
actually wanting to do it.
Yeah.
I'm a problem solver. That's a historical thing in my life, in our relationship. So Michelle shares emotions and I solve problems. I don't say, oh, I'm sorry you're feeling so sad. Or I hear that you're feeling this. Do you want to talk about it? No, I get on the internet.
Like, I'll get a journal.
And I'm like,
put your feelings in there.
IVF vacations. That's got to be a thing. And sure enough, it is a thing.
It's a thing.
So we went to Mexico and did IVF in Mexico.
We did.
And by the way, I had never, ever heard of this until we spoke before this.
I knew your story, but I didn't know it was an actual IVF vacation. Yeah. Like you Googled IVF vacation and this is what popped up. Why didn't I do this?
I don't know, Jamie.
So we, you know, like we hemmed and hawed over it quite a bit. And then I was like, you know, like the thing about this is the worst thing that happens is we just had a really expensive vacation to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
At least we
but already still cheaper than what IVF would have cost here in the States.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you get a vacation out of it to boot.
Right. Exactly.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through a little bit about like what is the process like to do an IVF vacation?
Yeah. So we emailed back and forth with the coordinator. So it was, I really think it was like IVFvacations.com, like something like that. I don't actually think that his company exists anymore. I mean, I think he's still doing something, but it's not that. And he was very nice. Talked me through all the possible like location options, scenarios for how long it would take, how they would coordinate with whatever was happening in the US so we could do ultrasounds in the US and then kind of time things correctly and all of that. And then we kind of had to talk about which places sounded good to us. And we decided on Mexico because it was closer and more doable when I was in school. And because we already had some of the meds, because we had started with Philly, we were able to stay in the U.S. longer.
It was a
we just started the meds in the U.S. and then had a shorter vacation, but it was still at least 10 days. I was going to say two weeks to 10 days, something like that.
So normally a person would go down for longer than 2 weeks?
I think it's closer to 3.
You do those injections a long time.
You do. And then you also have to get monitored when you're on them. So there is some point at which they were like, no, you need to be here so that you we can make sure.
Because they have to make sure your ovaries are not going to explode.
Right, exactly.
Make sure the timing is all Right.
Yeah.
Seriously, like that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because they're stimulating your follicles so much, they have to watch and make sure that they're not overstimulating you.
Right. Yeah. We've had friends that have been hospitalized from. Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
So,
oh my god.
So we had to go there, and then it was interesting because what you typically think of when you are saying I'm going to Cancun for a vacation is like you don't leave, right? You don't leave your resort area, right? You're not.
Yeah.
But we had to like take the city bus to wherever the to the grocery store because we weren't going to eat out every single meal and take the bus to the fertility clinic.
We had the best and we don't food.
And we don't speak Spanish.
Oh dear.
But okay, so you had to go for 2 weeks and you had your sperm shipped there or
that's tricky actually. The international transfer of sperm is not really
because I couldn't get around with that for Bogota.
So what happened ended up using their they had a bank that they were associated with.
Oh,
so you switched donors.
So we,
after like, you know,
well, we had switched a couple of times before that. I feel like
the usual finding Superman, right? Like we had done picture matching. We had searched, you know, looked at all the handwriting. And then
when it came down to the Mexico, we were like, do they look kind of like Mari? Okay, great. That's fine.
Great.
I mean, I hate to say it like that because it was, I mean, you know, you do care, but at some point you're like, if it was just someone that you fell in love with, you wouldn't pick all of those every single quality anyway. And it doesn't really, I don't know. It just didn't matter that much to us anymore.
You were so far down the road.
We'd already tried
19, 20 times.
You'd been through the ringer already. Yeah. It's like, let's just get on. Yeah. Let's do this.
So their donors were mostly European. So our donor is from Spain. I don't know. We just went and the clinic was very high tech, like way higher tech than any other clinic we'd ever been in before.
Really?
They had a coordinator who spoke really good English. The doctor spoke English. And then other people were like, you know, a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm.
That clinic put every clinic we went to in the U.S. to shame. Yeah, like,
that's
huge
amazing.
60-inch screens and monitors and fancy schmancies.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And were there a lot of people doing what you were doing there? Or were a lot of locals?
I think it was a combination. Yeah.
It was a mix.
They didn't have like a social group, like let's go out for drinks and meet all the people on the vacation.
No, not that. But there was a group up on, oh my gosh, I don't know. There's like an IVF support group site. And then there was a smaller group within that big group that was for people who went to different places. And then within there, it was like each location had its own kind of group that would talk.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's because people are nervous. You know, the idea of going somewhere, you don't know what the qualifications of, I don't know. Yeah, it is a little bit scary when you think about it, but
you don't know what you're going to find when you get there.
Right. But I think that also we like think that we get the best care in the U.S., but the staffs totally do not support that at all. So,
Well, that's refreshing to hear that they have such amazing facilities.
It's
refreshing. What's the price discrepancy between like a cycle in the U.S. and a cycle there?
So I think it was about half of what we were going to end up paying and filling.
Inclusive of travel?
And that did include everything except the flights.
That's amazing.
But like hotel or wherever you were staying too.
Yeah.
We ended up paying a little bit more because we had already bought our meds mostly in the US.
Because if we had bought them there, they would have been cheaper, but we would also have had to be there longer. So,
so it would have come out in the wash,
probably,
as they say.
Probably. Yeah.
Mm, that's amazing though. That I just had no idea. Like I you know, you always hear the story about people going abroad to get like nose jobs or like cosmetic work, but I'd never heard IVF.
Yeah. It was awesome. I actually, like, every time we have friends that are going into their, you know, fertility journeys, we're like,
it's an option.
It's an option.
So you know, it's an option
out there.
I'm going to recommend it to everyone. Yeah,
if I do this again, I'm going to Cancun.
Well, who's taking care of your kids for 3 weeks?
I don't know. I'm not worrying about that.
Doesn't matter. You have a third kid. You're like, who cares about it? All right. So it worked the first time?
No, it did
not. We got a really nice 2 week vacation. It was over Thanksgiving.
It was.
Because we had Thanksgiving dinner at a Mexican restaurant.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah. So
as you do.
So it did not work, which was really, really disappointing.
You know how it is with IVF. Like
that's a big letdown because you've built yourself, you know,
This is the thing that's going
to
work.
You didn't even want to do it. You didn't want to do IVF. No one wants to do that, right? But you've gotten to the point where you're like, okay, I'm going to do it because it's the thing that's going to work. And then it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a big letdown. And you went all the way to Cancun to do it.
Well, and, so, like,
and how does that,
you know, the go ahead, numbers sorry. That you get, you know, they harvest like 30.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, now you're down to 15. And now you're down to 5, which is where we ended up. And so we transferred.
So they harvested 30, but only 5 were viable.
I think she's making up those numbers. I don't really remember exactly.
Only 5 made it to the day 5 blastocyst spot.
Okay. Yeah.
And so
that's always how it goes.
Yeah. So they did 2 transferred the first time and froze 3. And we were like, well, that gives us 2 more shots at it, like another 2 and a 1. 2 more shots.
Okay.
That's what we thought.
Mm-hmm. That's what we thought. So this matters because then, you know, we were. The first transfer was November, and then we were going to go again in January.
But it was really expensive to go to Mexico in January.
And that we mistimed the meds. Like, we had missed the window for meds for January. And so we had to push it to late February, which then meant we were hitting spring more break expensive. Prices already. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, being the brave traveler that she is, said, we've been there. We've done this. We're cheapskates, and she was like, I got this. I'll just go
for
the
weekend. 2 days.
Yeah.
Take
and
one
by the way,
team.
I also think that happens like with our second. I think the first one, there was never an appointment. Mary wasn't standing there holding my hand. The second one, she was like, you got this. And I was like, I have this. You can just go to work. It's fine. You know, it's just like, I just think you're kind of just doing you're doing checklisty things at that point.
Well, in the end, the one that worked for me was the one time that Anne didn't show up, and that's when it worked.
So advice to everyone out there, don't bring your partner, and then it might work.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, when's the last time you did something for yourself?
I have kids. I don't do anything for myself.
Well, I think it's time you start with therapy, with BetterHelp.
What a WTF, Jamie. Thanks.
I'm just saying, I know Mary uses BetterHelp. I use BetterHelp. You should give yourself the gift of therapy. Happy New Year.
Listen, I'm not opposed to the idea. I mean, I do have to put up with you on a daily basis.
True.
And I do love how user-friendly that BetterHelp is. They assess your needs. They match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start talking to them in under 24 hours.
It really is convenient. And because it's professional counseling done securely online, it's available worldwide. And because it's online, there's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many other areas.
I'll tell you that Mary just, she loves the fact that she can just send a message to her counselor and they always respond quickly. Oh, and she has the option. She can schedule a phone session or a video session. She can even do it from the comfort of her own couch. Well, my couch. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But she sent a message last night that said she had to cancel a session and the lady got back immediately. No holding the phone, no weird waiting rooms. I do like that.
I mean, you need to do this, Robin. And don't worry. I know what you're thinking. If you get a counselor that you don't gel with, BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change counselors.
Why would I be thinking that? I wasn't thinking that.
Right. But how about this? It won't cost you an arm and a leg, Robin. It's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
Yeah, no, I might have been wondering.
Yeah, okay. See, I know you so well, Robin. Yes. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/OCT. That's BetterHelp/OCT, and join the over 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Ooh, and we also have a special offer for If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners. You're going to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/OCT. I mean, I guess I'm getting a therapist.
You might as well.
You all should too.
Let's do it. Let's therapize. Okay, so Michelle, you decide you're going to fly out there on your own.
Yeah. So I went, I got there. I was all, you know, gowned up and ready to go. And they come in and say, so how many are we putting in? And I said, well, I mean,
we had told you two.
Two, I think. And they were like, oh, because we have 3 ready. And I said, oh, you do. can you freeze it again?
Because you cannot freeze it. No. It's like meat. It's already been thawed. It's over.
Yeah. So he said, so your options are to put in 2 and throw one away or put in 3. And he's like, the chances
I never had triplets.
Chances of triplets are so low. And
you're not going to have triplets. You'll ruin my streak.
Yeah, he really did not want us to have triplets. And I was like, well, I'm here. I'm by myself. I don't have an international phone plan. So
you couldn't even call Mari.
I mean, I probably could have. It just would have cost a little bit of money, but you know.
We're cheap.
Yeah, it was a $20 call to decide for colleges for 3 or 2.
Yeah.
So she called me from the hotel room, like on FaceTime or something, whatever existed then. I don't know. FaceTime.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, right, Skype. She goes, so I had to make a decision. And if you think I made the wrong one, don't tell me because I'm not ready to hear it. Like, okay, well, I would have made the same decision. Yeah. But.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. That's nice.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, it would feel like I hope no one reads into this, but like throwing out a baby.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I can't. Well, you worked so hard.
Regardless of whether you think it's throwing away a baby, it's throwing away a chance for a baby. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
And when you.
And, that those are expensive little eggs.
Expensive little embryos.
Exactly.
Embryos. That's the right word.
Yeah. And not, when nothing has worked. You're like, well,
yeah. Maybe we'll get one.
Yeah, that's what I said. Chance that all three of these are going to work. Maybe we'll get twins. It'll be great. You know,
we did the same thing. I had my first IVF round. We got 5 viable. The first time we put in 2, didn't work. The second time we put in the last 3.
You did?
And it didn't work.
Oh,
wow.
And then the third time we only had 2 viable. We put them both in and that didn't work either.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You know, there's no chance. I mean, the chances are so slim that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So when did you find out? Like, you're home now.
Well, then we actually went to Hawaii on vacation to visit my parents because my parents live in Hawaii.
And we said, we're not testing in Hawaii. We're not ruining our vacation.
Yeah. And we didn't want the pressure of like finding out with my family there.
Yeah.
And
So we said we weren't going to, but we changed our minds, of course, while we were there. So, we were done with any sort of drugstore test. We're like, right. No. So we got a blood test.
One of my parents' friends there is a midwife and a nurse midwife. And so she ordered the test and we got the blood draw done. And so the results went to her and she called Michelle to tell her that it was positive that she was pregnant.
Oh. What they did was they fax it to her.
They faxed the numbers to her.
And she was like, so your numbers are this, which it's, you're definitely pregnant, but it's not,
it's
like
the low normal.
It's kind of on the low normal, whatever.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, okay. And then did she send them to us?
She sent us a picture or gave us the copy of the fax within the next couple of days.
Yeah. So anyway, so she calls and tells me, but I wasn't with Mari and Mari's sister was right near me.
In earshot.
And so I was just like, okay. Like totally flapped because I don't know. I didn't want to tell
you.
Tell Mari first. So that was exciting. And we were like, great. It's probably just one. Like we're pregnant.
Yeah.
That was a relatively low number, but any number is good and it's going to be fine. And we'll just get tested again to make sure it's doubling, you know, the things that it's supposed to do. And then when the picture came,
then we got the picture or the paper and it said 95 and I was like, God, does it look like there's
there's another number there?
Doesn't it? It looks like there's another number
there.
1 or a 7.
So, I don't know. Like, it's just in the back of our minds that it didn't look right. Like, it didn't really look like 95. It looked like something.
951.
1995. 957.
Right? And so we were like, but it couldn't be that high. I mean, that's really high.
Anyway.
It was actually the 951, but
yeah.
Oh,
we learned that as the number was like
exponentially higher.
But still, they were like, it might be twins. No worries. And then we went on another vacation.
We
went to Seattle.
You two are living the life with your 3 babies in the hopper.
We went to Seattle for a wedding for Mars. Yes.
Okay.
We went to Seattle for a wedding, but it was a very short trip. We knew that I was pregnant. And so we told people that had been following like the 2.5 year thing.
Yeah.
Right. So at that point, I don't know, at least for us, we weren't waiting until after right. the first trimester to tell those people that had been, yeah. you know, that They've had been through all with along. Us, you know?
Yeah.
So we told a bunch of people and it was fun and exciting. And then we had to take a red eye home.
Oh yeah.
And it was horrible. And I felt terrible.
That was your
time. You were pregnant.
Morning sickness.
Yes. I felt terrible. So I'm in the bathroom in the Philly.
It was Philadelphia.
Yes. I think it was Philly.
Cause we were supposed to fly closer to back to State College, but there was a weather thing. Yeah. A big snowstorm coming in. And so they rerouted us into Philly and Michelle like tried to eat a bagel and that did lost not go well. That.
Yeah. But then it was like there was some spotting and I was freaking out. Mm-hmm. Because of course that's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we scheduled, we called from that airport and they're like, well, as soon as you get here, come in, we'll check, see what's going on. And that was the day that we found out there were three.
So what happened?
They did the ultrasound.
She said, everything looks great. I don't see a reason for any bleeding, but we're going to be here for a little while because I have three babies to measure.
Oh my God. How far along were you at this point?
Six and a half weeks. It was almost seven, I think. She told us, and then she was like, I'm going to go get the doctor. Like, it was this like, big serious thing or something. And I start crying.
Did she know you didn't know?
It wasn't the best delivery. Let's it was just not. Say
that's what I'm, yeah, that's
not the best bedside manner.
It was not. It was not at all. And I start crying, but she leaves the room to go get the doctor. I start crying, and I said to Mari, I want to be crying because I'm so happy and I'm so excited, but I'm not.
These are not tears of happiness.
Because I'm scared and because I don't know what's happening. This wasn't supposed to happen. So it was not great. And then the doctor came in and also wasn't great. She was like, you're going to have to go to a
maternal fetal medicine.
Yeah.
Like, an hour we and a can't, half away.
You know, we don't.
Basically, we're not.
And that was it. That was it. And it was like, okay, bye.
No patient no counts.
Congratulations.
It was like, how dare you have triplets? How dare you?
But you must be scared.
Yeah, nothing. No.
Wow.
And it really wasn't better when we got to maternal fetal medicine because that was, you know, we scheduled, I don't know, a couple weeks out or something. And we met with a fellow who asked a bunch of questions.
And then proceeded to go through every laundry possible list thing that could go wrong.
Yeah. Everything. Which is fun to hear. That's fun to hear when you're pregnant.
There's 25 million things.
You know that I've been on Google since I found out. I know all of the things already.
What are some of the, like the, not to like make you go back to that horrible thing, but are there like a lot of huge complications other than like the not being able to go full term?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest complication for the babies is them not making it. But there are also complications for the mother, theoretically, you know. I don't remember the laundry list.
It was
things,
a long
but,
list.
But yeah, I mean, everything that could go wrong for a pregnant woman with a single baby is just kind of really multiplied. So they do. Yeah. And we're in a group of people who also had triplets in the same year that we did. And almost across the board, people are given counseling on reduction.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I wondered about that, like if that ever came up for you guys. Like, did someone asked you without you asking that question if you were going to consider reduction? And it was a doctor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or
well,
multiple
so the fellow
doctors?
Asked, like the fellow gave this long list and then asked if we had any questions. And we had asked two questions. One, like, how does this impact diet and exercise? And I don't know, there was one other question. Oh, it was about, because Michelle had fibroids removed. And so they were going to schedule a regular singleton baby at 37 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And so we wanted to know, like, so if they were worried about the stress on her uterus with a single baby, what does that mean for three? Mm-hmm. And he couldn't answer those questions. But then he was like, do you have any more questions? We're like,
why would we ask you? You couldn't answer the question.
You don't have the answers.
Yeah. So far, you suck.
So then the real doctor, you know, came in and then proceeded to go through the whole list again.
Again.
That Michelle burst into tears, at which point he totally backpedaled and was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, really? You have probably don't.
Never seen a woman cry before in your office?
Yeah, you're a high-risk OB. Like, they're probably crying left and right. But
after that, he was great.
Then he was nice.
Like,
he was
from great. Then on.
Yeah.
He changed.
You had to sob first, but then
I guess so. Yeah.
I think they're just, like, covering their asses for insurance purposes, right? I'm sure they have to tell you. But still, it sucks that they can't figure out how to do it better.
And so when it came to reducing the number of embryos in there, did you feel like they were coercing you in any particular direction?
No, not really.
I don't think so.
And, you know, we said...
Was it more just like them saying, if you're considering this, we can talk about it, or...
It was more than that. I think it was more than that. At least in my memory, it felt... more like, this might be a good idea. You should really think about it.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever entertain that idea, or was it always you don't have to answer that question.
I did not at all entertain that idea.
Before we had left the original OB ultrasound, I was like, are we going to have to get a bigger car? Can we fit 3 car seats across the back seat? Like, I just started, like, again, I told you I'm a problem solver, right? I'm not a feelings person. I'm a problem solver. And so I was like, all right, you got to find out. Can you do 3 car seats? Let's go.
We got to get the Honda Odyssey.
Minivan.
Actually, we have a Prius.
We have a Prius and a RAV4.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, it turns out you can't fit. You just have to get specific seats.
Interesting.
Yeah, so no, we didn't ever think about reduction. The only thing we asked for considering that was about the risks to me, because we were a little bit worried since I had a surgery before. Like, how big can I get before something bad happens? Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they really didn't.
Well, and also, am I making this up? But like, if you've had fibroids, are you more likely to get them during pregnancy because of all the estrogen?
I think you're right. I think they can be like, they can grow in pregnancy because of the estrogen. So I don't know about getting more, but.
And you have so many babies in there. There has to be like so many hormones. And like, We need an expert to
send
us a voicemail.
Yeah. Tell us what the scoop is.
And then we'll
is.
Put it in a future
What's
episode.
What's the tea? Somebody. What's the tea?
Yeah. No, it turns out there are not that many people that are experts in high order multiple pregnancies anyway. So everyone's just kind of like, well, we think this and we think that.
Right.
Even like Mari said, when we were asking about diet stuff, it was like, eat more.
It
was just not
a lot. But I found this book by this
Barbara Luke.
Yeah, Barbara Luke. It's a nutrition. She was really high on nutrition for moms of multiples really early in pregnancy. And so she was recommending like 3,000
like
calories, 200 grams
of protein a day.
Whoa.
Wow. So who could eat that much?
Very hard.
My full-time job was trying to get more calories and protein in her. I was like, I know you don't feel good, but too bad. Here's an ice cream, peanut butter, protein powder, milkshake.
I could barely eat when I was pregnant. All I ate was cereal.
I know. It was like the one time in my life where I didn't want to eat.
I know.
I was like, what's wrong with the universe?
I know. The one time you're allowed to.
You used to eat kale salad and all these amazing things. And I'd be like, can I make you a salad? She's like, no.
Mac and cheese. Yeah.
So triplet delivery, you don't do that naturally, right? That's
a C-section?
Automatically?
Okay. Yeah, pretty much. I think you would have to fight really hard, and I just didn't feel that strongly about it.
I wouldn't fight for that.
No. And at the risk of a third baby.
Yeah, no.
It's not worth the risk.
Okay.
How did you process through? So you were really scared to begin with, but you knew you were going to have these triplets. Like that was a given. You were going with this. But how did you process through this? When did you get to the point where you were excited about this? Or
once they got the car, the minivan.
They didn't get the minivan. Yeah. I'm kidding.
So we were scared. And so we told everyone else in our life, you're not allowed to tell us about things you're scared about or things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so smart.
So your job,
you
friends and family, is
supportive.
To come up with reasons why having triplets is awesome.
Is exciting.
And is fun and exciting. And so we would get messages about what they could be for Halloween and how funny that would be. And just stuff like that. And I think that helped. And then Mari has already labeled herself the problem solver, but we're both pretty good. Like, we're planners and list makers. And so I think we just went into that mode.
We need 3 cribs. We need to figure out how all this is going to work.
I mean, we were excited. We Yes, we were scared, but we've been waiting for so long to have a baby that we could get over the fear and be excited with the fear always kind of hanging in the background, I think, until you get to certain points. Like, it was always make it to this
viability,
right? Make it to viability. Okay. We made it to viability. Now make it until their lungs are more developed. Okay. Now we make, right, you know, that kind of constant.
And like, I'm a pediatric physical therapist and I work in early intervention. Oh. And so I work with a ton of preemies. And so I would be like, okay, once we hit 30 weeks, X, Y, Z, you know, okay, now right, can we make it to 32, yeah, which is average gestation for triplets. And mm-hmm, Michelle's a rock star and she made it to 34.
Which, wow.
She has a C-section scheduled for 36. So it still felt like I missed the mark, but, but yeah, 34 she was pretty great. It was pretty great. And they were big. They
were giants.
How big?
So when they were born, it was two girls and a boy. Boy was born first. His name's Isaiah, and he was 5 pounds, 14 ounces.
Oh, that's big. Yeah. That's bigger than my son was.
Birth weight. Yeah. That was my birth weight.
Right. And then there were two more. So Ellie was 5'2".
Yep.
And Avery was 4'12".
Wow. Amazing. Hey, Robin, do you remember in high school how scared you were of getting pregnant?
No, not at all. But I remember in sex ed how they taught you to prevent pregnancy at all costs. I mean, they talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all the tools to prevent pregnancy, but when it comes time to planning ahead for it, it's a mystery.
That's true.
And we've heard from countless LGBTQ folks about how they went to the fertility doc to get started making their gay baby, only to be told that their eggs were a bit longer in the tooth than they had expected.
True.
It's a scary thing to hear when you've spent your whole life being told to avoid pregnancy.
It's so true. And that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's this easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Amazing. You mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. Amazing.
That's great.
And for us LGBTQ folks, that's one less doctor appointment to book. And mm-hmm, let's face it, to make our babies, we spend a lot of time at the doctors.
We do. And traditional testing with your doctor could cost over $1,000. Mm-hmm. But Modern Fertility only costs $159 to get that same information.
That's great.
And if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you can get $20 off your test.
Wow. Oh, also, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, and every dollar counts. You'll also get insight into how many eggs you have, hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags. The results go into this in-depth report about what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and also talk about options and next steps.
It's really good. So if you want kids today or maybe one day, mm-hmm, you need the information to make the decision that's the best for you. I mean, if we had known the state of my eggs before we got pregnant, maybe we would have chosen me to go first instead of Anne.
Yeah.
You know, would have been good to know.
Yeah. And so, like we said, right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. It means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds of billions of dollars at a doctor's office. So you can get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
You heard it here, folks. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Get it. Check your eggs, yo.
Yes.
I'd like to know about parenting triplets. Like, how's that been?
Take us through. I mean,
you said you don't know any different, but
it is very intense. I often go back to the blog to read because I honestly do not remember the beginning.
Yeah. So the other little piece of information to know about the very beginning is that once we were processing through this triplet thing, you know, we had had this like you carry one, I carry one plan. Oh. Then we moved to IVF. That was the original plan, was that then Michelle would carry and then that last attempt we would put in me and I would carry. Mm-hmm. So I like processed some feelings about that, mm-hmm, and
sure,
decided I didn't really care about being pregnant, but I was mourning not being able to breastfeed. So again, I'm a problem solver. I got on the internet and looked up inducing lactation. So I was prepared to start nursing babies born at 28 weeks. So I started at like 20.
So we had a stock when they were born already.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had a freezer stash of milk, which was pretty bad.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
And kind of threw the NICU off. because we came to the came to the hospital with a stash of fresh milk. Yeah. And they're like, we don't know what to do with this because there's no babies yet. And this milk isn't from the biological mom. And
they got over it. They did get over it.
They got over it pretty fast. Yeah. But for a little while, it was stored in the like patient snack, you know, freezer. For a couple days.
Well, that's a reason to be two moms having babies, huh? Yeah. That's the best thing you could do is help your wife who just had triplets out.
So you could both be breastfeeding.
That's my point.
Like, and Mari knows this, so it's not incredible. But when she started thinking about it and I was like, that's weird.
I don't know.
It feels weird to me. And then when the babies were born, thank God. Like I don't know what would have happened if I had been the only one who could.
You wouldn't have made it through. You wouldn't have made it. Well, so were you guys both in the hospital, like being trained on the boob? Like, did the nurses help both of you out?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They did. And they were really cool about it.
That's
like
amazing.
After the initial, like, we don't know how to milk. And then they're like, okay, you can just sign a form and it was fine. And then they were great. The lactation.
That's great. They didn't make a big
deal. The hospital was really
great.
They
were awesome.
They were really great.
Yeah.
Isaiah
was like,
that's so cool.
I was nursing Isaiah on the first day.
Yeah. Wow.
Holy moly. That's so cool that we can do that.
Especially cool the fact that you had multiples.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it like gave you a break. You got to be a part of it. And it's just like, I just been picturing this like round robin of babies being like,
totally hey, pretty much. Totally
you got four boobs between you. You could have had a fourth.
I mean, it's amazing.
We'd be like,
it's not too late.
Isaiah last time. So here, you take him and I'll take the girls.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, that's awesome. Great for you, Mari, because that's such a bonding experience.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It didn't feel like a bonding experience for me at first.
No, Michelle did not have an easy go.
I did not enjoy that very much. I came around, but the beginning was not pleasant.
Yeah. Well, we also, I mean, we had these, you know, preemies who weren't totally nursing champs for a while. Yeah. And so we also had to do all these additional things of like trying to give them, make sure they were getting enough. And then we were doing finger feeds for a little while and supplemental nursing system.
Oh
my gosh. It was a high drama time.
It was.
Ooh, it's a lot.
It was. Yeah. So what it looked like at first was feeding them every about two and a half hours.
Were they all on the same schedule?
Yes. So you would, one was slightly behind, like 15 minutes. So it would be two up and nursing and one hopefully sleeping and not just screaming. Mm-hmm. Two up and nursing, one sleeping, and then
I would give Michelle baby number three, and I would take the first two, change
their
diapers,
put them back,
swaddle them up, get them back to bed. Then she would hand me baby number three. I would do the same thing.
And then
they'd
go back to bed. Then I had to pump.
And then I had to pump because, for the supplemental nursing
because to keep up.
Keep the supply
a
for
supply
three.
For three. Yeah. You can't just feed them when they're little. You have to also pump every
time.
You have
to pump.
Oh, and then we would hopefully have 45 minutes to sleep before the 2 hour window was up again. And we had to start the process all over again.
Yeah.
So we slept.
How long did that go on for?
Too long.
I don't know. It was,
3 to 6 months, I think. I mean, by 6 months,
they weren't
more than that.
It wasn't every 2.5 hours.
At least the first 3 months.
Yeah.
It was rough. We didn't leave our bedroom
for the first
month. I'm like exhausted just hearing about this. So you both had to be on like a parental leave.
Well,
Michelle was still taking a
class. I was a student. So.
What?
Oh,
you're still
Michelle.
Getting a PhD?
Well, yes, I was still getting a PhD, and our health insurance was through my studentness.
So we had to
not be a student.
You're like, what's the easiest class I can take and remain matriculated?
I had a very supportive department, and so it was really do what you can. We'll keep you enrolled, and if you have to do the work next semester. That's fine.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Wow. So yeah, they were great, but it was definitely not a real parental leave. Like I was, I was working in the hospital, not after they were born, but before and relatively soon at home after. Mari took a little time.
Yeah. I was off until January and they were born in October.
Oh, okay.
And even then, I went
back.
Wow,
you guys, you guys are like champions. Man, I just can't even imagine this.
It was pretty intense.
We did have someone visiting us. Someone for almost continuously. The first 3 months.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Helpful.
They helped with like feeding us, you know, because we, if we had to make ourselves food, then that meant we missed one of those 45 minute sleep increments, which was
right.
Rough. Yeah. Those little cycles, the 2 hour cycles, only bled into each other, I think, twice, and we both just like broke down in tears. Like, how is it possible that babies number 1 and 2 already have to eat? Like, it was. Yeah. Those were the lowest of the low.
I didn't so even get hard. To lay down.
I remember those moments. Oh, God. So what's it like? What's it like parenting these three little buggers now? What's going on?
I feel like you have to be just so scheduled.
I don't think we are actually that scheduled.
But I think we're pretty protective of our time. Like, they just started kindergarten.
They don't do a lot.
They don't do a lot of extracurriculars. Yeah. And I know that that time will come. But for now, they each can choose one thing that they want to do outside of school. And I think that is sanity saving right now.
Yeah.
Because even that sort of feels like a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, Isaiah's going to be starting soccer pretty soon. And that's 2 times a week. And I'm already feeling a little bit of anxiety about the additional commitments.
I always talk about those things is like when I start to feel bad about like maybe my kids aren't doing enough because we would not put anything during the weekdays and we were really protective of our weekends. But I'm like, you know what? I didn't start sports until middle school. Like, we start them so early with kids now, and there's all this pressure if your 5-year-old's not playing a sport.
Yeah.
And also your kids have like almost this little unit together. So it's not like they're alone watching TV. There's 3 of them that, you know, they can be playing.
Fight with all the time.
Yeah. Go punch your
I was
brother.
Gonna say, do they get along? Do they fight? It's like normal siblings, obviously.
It's like normal siblings for sure. I mean, I think it's a little closer.
Yeah,
in some
for
ways
sure.
Than
they're
normal
tight
siblings. They're unit. Pretty tight, but they can
fight like the Dickens.
Yeah, they can.
Is there ever any like odd man out, or is like does the 2 against 1 shift, or is it generally?
They will often pair up in different combinations. And it was funny. I was just talking to Michelle the other day about how it seems like it's shifted for a while. Like, there would be one combination that would work, you know, like Avery would pair up with either one, but
the other two never
paired up. Well, then now Ellie and Isaiah are the most likely to go off and into some pretend land of cheetahs and lions and whatever the pretend theme is of the day, and Avery's more likely to hang with us or want to be making slime or something fun like that. So
I hate making slime. I said it. I'm so sorry. Yes. Like, I despise making slime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They definitely buddy up. And I mean, they definitely will all play together at times. And then, I mean, they just fight like siblings. I think the difference with the multiples is that there isn't one who's at a higher maturity level. So if one is biting, they're all biting. You know, that was like the thing. That was a big deal in our Facebook group of multiples, triplets born in 2013. They'd be like, oh my gosh, you guys, what are you doing about the biting? Because, you know, it happened so fast. And they just, thankfully that was a short phase for us, but it's just every other thing, hitting, kicking, tattling, you know.
Yeah. And you can't tell one of them, well, you know
right.
better.
Right. Just exactly. walk away. Right. No, there's no more.
Right. They're all
just
the same
walk
boat.
Away. Just walk away. That's what I say to my daughter all the time. You know better. Yeah. Oh. He doesn't know any better. You can't.
There's none of that.
Yep. There's none of that.
Mm-hmm. But I think we have crossed into the time frame where there are more advantages than disadvantages to having them all the same age. Because my sister has her kids spread out from 3 to 7, 2 to 7, something like that. And I see the challenges of planning activities and going on trips with that age spread. And what's developmentally appropriate for one of ours is developmentally appropriate for everyone. And so everybody's in the same age and stage and once you are past the baby wearing, we were past the baby wearing. It was really intense. And we did a lot of baby wearing when they were little and when they were toddlers, because we'd have three all tired kids who couldn't walk that far. But
you have like a front, a back, and then a front.
I experimented with a lot of baby wearing combinations, but a lot of times
different.
I mean, even when they were three, you know, if you go to a city or you're traveling or in an airport, they just get tired. So I'd throw one on my back and one on my shoulders and have a double stack baby wearing. And Michelle would throw one on her back. And here we go through the airport, getting all kinds of funny looks. But
hashtag mom life. There you go.
Exactly.
It's amazing, though. And they have each other now. Now it gets, now you're getting to the point where you get to see that they're always going to have each other.
Yeah, they really do. Which I mean, that's beautiful. The cutest thing that Isaiah says always is he talks about his sisters and he doesn't say like my sister. I don't know.
He says my girls.
Aww. And it's so sweet.
Like if one of them, you know, he goes to Trader Joe's with us. He'll be like, I got to get lollipops for my girls.
Oh, that's so cute.
That is really sweet. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I probably don't need to ask this, but you're done, right?
Oh yeah,
we are done. We are officially done. We have talked about potentially fostering in our future.
For now, we foster animals. We have a constant stream of foster kittens, and we currently have a foster dog. And
we're good where we're at.
I'm gonna swing by Florida and drop off my cat.
Don't take her cat.
My cat's problematic, and she's on some drugs to try to calm her down.
That's why we foster, because we only foster kittens, and then you foster them until they're big enough to go get adopted, and then they become cats somewhere else.
Right? Yep. Kittens are cute.
I'm going to keep trying to rehome my cat.
Keep your cat. Take care of your cat.
She's not going anywhere. It's fine.
Take care of
your
cat.
Poor Lucy.
Oh, Lucy. This has been amazing.
Amazing. That's so, so much.
Well, we learned so much in this episode. The IVF vacation, my God. And you're the second person we've talked to who's induced lactation.
It's incredible.
Only two. I didn't think there was going to be anybody else.
Yeah.
This was a nice little surprise you just threw at us.
I love
us there.
A bonus boob.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Is there anything you think you didn't tell us that you want to tell us?
Well, I do, because I think people say things like, oh, better you than me, like, I don't know how you do it, and things like that. And I think what I would say to people is that anybody could. Right. Like, you can do
rise
it
to the occasion.
You don't have a choice, right?
Right.
Like, it's your life and you step up. Yeah. Like, anybody could do it. We're not like these amazing superhumans. Like, it's
you'll forgive us if we are going to say we think you're superheroes.
We think you're pretty awesome.
It's like, we're still going to say that.
I mean, mainly because you induce lactation.
All the things.
But basically, you get what you get and you don't get upset. And that is across the board the truth.
Yeah. That's what we tell the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and at some point, the kids get to the point where they understand what people are saying.
Yeah.
Oh, right? And so, When people say things like, oh my gosh, I could never do that.
Right.
Or
it's saying they're a burden.
Then, you know, then they take that in and like, oh, I wouldn't trade it for the
and
world.
And they really
you know?
Think, they think it's, they think they it's think really it's special. Cool. They think it's cool.
They're super special.
Yeah.
They're triplets. That doesn't come along very often. So they're like special people in the universe.
They just think they're getting to the age where they think it's funny and someone will be like, how old are you? And they'll be like, 6. And how old are you? 6. We're triplets. And they just laugh.
They're special.
I still do
also,
like know
they're
people
lesbians.
Are like,
oh.
Yeah.
It's my favorite when people are like, so how many kids do you have? And I'm like, 3. How old are they? 6. And then they look
they
at me
wait.
Like they're waiting and they're waiting.
Just 6.
And it's like 1, 2, 3.
Ooh,
wait, they're all 6? Yes, they're all 6.
Amazing.
So that's good for our listeners to hear, because actually we got called out when we first started the podcast on social. We were saying something about
That was an
how
episode.
Hard we twins said how, could be.
And then the lady said,
somebody wrote to us and said, you know, exactly what you just said. So thank you for saying that. I think it's important to say.
People think they can't complain to you about because how you hard it is for their, with their
one
baby.
One single baby.
And, and people shouldn't do that either.
Oh, we're still going to complain to you guys. We're probably going to call you after this and start complaining. Don't worry about that.
It's all hard.
Yeah.
You should, no one should feel bad about that.
It's all hard. Michelle's and all so rewarding.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing
your
story.
Thank you, guys. This has been great.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so I want to go on an IVF vacation. But
I don't want to have more kids, though.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I think, you know what? I think it is possible because neither one of us can probably get pregnant. So we just go and like...
It's just called a vacation then, I think.
Just get inseminated and we know it's not going to work.
Whoa, whoa. I don't know.
Can they
do it at the bar? It would Can you imagine? Excuse me, I'm getting inseminated.
Can I use the bar for my legs?
Just as long as we've just... Just as long as we've just turned into like a medical miracle into us sitting at the bar, the swim up bar, underwater.
Could you do it underwater?
You get a lot of other people pregnant at the same time. Work.
Interesting.
So much.
Anyway, but listen, they were listeners who pitched us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, do you have a story to share? You should reach out to us at ovariestalk@gmail.com. Let's keep this conversation going. Join us on the social.
Oh, you can join our Patreon community at patreon.com/ovariestalk. Mm-hmm. We got all kinds of extra content over there. You want to catch a video of Michelle Mari talking about bedtime with triplets?
I can't even. Come on. I'm still like overwhelmed by that.
No, thank you.
You can find us @ovariestalk on Twitter, @ovaries_talk on Insta.
And if these ovaries could talk on Facebook, you just join our community.
Yeah.
Be there with all the other listeners.
Be a part of us.
And whoa, don't be a part of us. It's messy. Thank you to our sponsors, Magic Spoon, BetterHelp, and Modern Fertility. You guys, you make this show possible.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess that's it.
Maybe for 2020, that's our new tagline. I guess that's it.
More to come.
TTLY.
What is that?
I don't know. I was trying to do talk to you later, but TTYL.
TTYL.
Whatever.
TGIF.
I was never that strong a speller.
Anyway, okay, eggs.
Eggs, ovaries.
Out.
Messy out. Ovaries could talk, they would say.
Eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.